You would please turn to your book of Hebrews in your scriptures, Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to just simply read a couple of verses of scripture, and I want to talk about family and passing on a legacy of faith. So if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to just call an audible and go with what I can go with and share with you what I feel I have time to share with you well, if you don't mind. Hebrews chapter 11. Okay. Colin, God bless you. We're going to try to do this together, okay, buddy? He's got some things. I am not Paul and Joku, but if you have Hebrews chapter 11, you know that this is the Faith Hall of Fame. This is the thing that we see where God commends Old Testament saints for the faith that they have, not because it was an easy life that they faced, but because truly he was at work in their life. They were not perfect people, but they were consistently evolving in their faith and growing closer and closer to him. And so what I'd like to do here, if you don't mind, I'd like to go ahead and go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. You know what? Let's pick up in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. And by faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. And let me just share with you a few things. Let's just go to the big idea, if you don't mind. That's on, you see that slide there, slide number 13. Our big idea is faith makes choices in the present based on God's promises about our future. Faith makes choices in the present based on God's promises about our future. Would you guys say that with me on the count of three? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Faith makes choices in the present based on God's promises about our future. Here's what I would share with you today. I believe with all of my heart that we are called to make a difference and an impact in the people that are around us. But I believe the only way that we can truly do this is if we take our eyes from the world that we live in, take our eyes from the things that are keeping us busy, but not really doing important things. We're doing the urgent, but not the important. Can I get an amen? Y'all know what it is like to just feel like the urgent is getting you, but you never actually get around to doing anything important. Amen? I mean, we've been there. And so as we look at this, I believe that God says, you know what? The more that you can take your eyes from this world and raise it to see that there is another world that is yet to come, that although unseen, is more powerful and can make an impact on this world if you will allow it and let it. I believe this is what God desires to do in our life. Now, let's go to the don't miss this slide, if you don't mind, and I want to share this with you. This here is a C.S. Lewis quote at the bottom, and then the don't miss this on slide 17. And so as we look at it, there it is. We must live relevant, purposeful lives in our physical world without losing sight of our ultimate spiritual home. If you read this passage of scripture from Hebrews chapter 11, there will be numbers of times where it talks about like Cain and Abel. And you hear that Abel, though dead through his faith, he still speaks. It talks about how Abraham was a man who was looking forward to a city whose foundations had been built by God. not by human hands, but by God. And so it's telling us that these men of faith that God literally put in the Faith Hall of Fame here in Hebrews 11, they got there by lifting their eyes from the now and begin to look for what God was doing and will do in the future. And so I want to share with you this quote. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity said, if you read history, you're going to find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next one. In other words, when we begin to think about the next world and its importance, we begin to live differently in the here and now. If you guys are with me, give me an amen. Okay, so think about that for a moment. Think about how so many people have been touched by lives that were lived by Christians, not trying to lay up treasures for themselves in this world, but lay up treasures where moth and rust do not corrupt. They were seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then letting God be the one who would add all of these things to them as well. And so for many of us, as much as we love the Lord, it is very, very difficult for us to take our eyes off this world and say, Lord, everything that I see that feels so urgent, everything that I think is important, is not nearly as important as those things that you have promised and those things that you are accomplishing. But if we can ever get there, if we can spiritually become mature enough to say, it's not about what I'm dealing with, it's about what God is doing. And if we can get to that point, we can begin to lift our eyes to the place where every single circumstance of this world doesn't throw us in a pit. Because it's easy. Man, trust me, on a day like today, these things that I've just shared, this is the kind of thing that can absolutely waylay you, sometimes for days, sometimes for weeks, right? So what is the remedy? The remedy is that God is in control. And even if we do not understand, we have faith that he has good plan for his people. Can I get an amen? That even ultimately when we hurt and it is tragedy that we face, we can believe that God is in control and that he will bring about something beautiful and good. He brings beauty from ashes. He makes the dry bones to come together and come alive. These are the things that we know about God, even when we don't feel them in that moment. But I love the fact that Naeem had chosen today that we would sing Waymaker, because he is truly a waymaker. And I love that line. My favorite line in this whole song is, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Because you never stop working. And I love that line because it reminds us that God is always at work. Now I want to make this something that you can hear and put into your life, and I want to just share with you. I want to share from 1 John chapter 2 on the next slide, if you don't mind. It is so critical that we hear from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is, what does it say? Passing away. This is what we politely say when someone has died. So what is it telling us about the world? The world is on a path to die. The only thing that will be redeemed from this world is what the Lord himself will save. He is going to bring his people out of the world and save them. The world is dying along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides what? Forever. We have eternal perspective, even on difficult days, but it is incredibly important for us, especially as we are older, as we are a little wiser, that we see things from a different perspective than those who are captive and caught up only in the moment and the momentary. So let me just share this with you, and I'm bringing this kind of to a close in the next handful of minutes. I want it to be powerful, but at the same time, I just simply don't have time. Here's what I do want to share with you. One of the most important things as a dad is for me to have influenced my daughters. I had an opportunity to be with my daughter this week as she gave birth. I don't know if I showed you pictures. Did I show you pictures? Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. Yeah. Y'all are like, can you please? All right, fine. Y'all are just jealous, and I understand that. That's a seven deadly sin. Pray about it. Anyway, kidding. Here's what I want to share with you. I had an opportunity to see my daughter, Taryn, and I had an opportunity to see my oldest daughter, Tori, who came in to be with her sister. I already talked with you about Tatum, who's there with her brother-in-law, things that they're facing. But here's what I would share with you. It is such a beautiful thing to speak to my daughters and to see that they're following the Lord. I would give you everything in the world that has my name on the deed to know that my kids are following God. You can keep the rest. I don't want you to have it all. I mean, I need some of that stuff. I need a place to live. I need clothes. Probably don't need all the clothes I got, but I need a place to live. Probably don't need all the house I got either, but it sure puts things in perspective when you see the Lord blessing your kids and them living for the Lord. I don't know that I would change a lot. I've tried really hard to focus in about what God was doing in my kids and what he might be able to do and influence through me. But as a guy who's 55 years old, I'm here to tell you the most important things that you will do is pour into your kids. And now I have an opportunity to pour into my grandsons, and whatever babies come what may, they're next. And I'm coming for them too, all right? Why? Because I want them to experience the blessing of knowing the Lord. And I just want to challenge you. As we read this passage of Scripture, as we read this passage of Scripture from this book of Hebrews, it's talking about, it's passed from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph, and then to Joseph's sons. And I believe I've got that one on, I know I've got that one on a slide as well. Let's go to slide 21, if you don't mind, and I want you to notice it very quickly. By faith, Isaac, he's the first generation after Abraham, he evoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Those are his boys, second generation. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed to the sons of Joseph, who were his third, Joseph was the third, and then Joseph's sons were the fourth generation. He's blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing. How? The Bible says that he was worshiping while leaning on his staff. What does that mean? It kind of jumps out because it's weird. It's something that we wouldn't normally say. But back then, if you needed help getting around, you didn't have a wheelchair. You had a long staff. And he was there leaning on something because he could barely stand on his own two feet. But what was happening? In the moments where he could barely hold himself up, what did the Bible say he was doing? He was worshiping. One of the final things that his children and his children's children and his children's children's children saw was that he prioritized worshiping God above the things in this world. So what happened? Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. What it means is that the second in command in all of Egypt said, "This is not my home. My home is with my people in God's provided land, not here." And to be very clear, he probably would have had one of those pyramids for him because he was an amazing man who literally saved the nation from the famine. But he said, "Forget that. I don't want that. I want you to take my bones and leave this good land and go where God has provided us our own land." He's lifting his eyes from the here and now that make perfect sense if you're a human being, oh, you're loved, you're honored, you're respected. He said, no, 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 I don't care about those things. I want to be where God would have me first. Are y'all with me? Can I get an amen? So you have to lift your eyes and say, it doesn't matter what this world says. It matters that I'm obedient to God and where he has called me to be. Now, I'm going to close this with just a quick story. So if you'll go to the last slide before our title slide there, I just want to share this with you. Look closely here. This is a book called Living by Faith, and you might recognize Judy Combs Puckett. That's my mom. She wrote this book, and it was written back in 2010. She mainly wrote it for our family, but there are a lot of people that would love to write a book and all that stuff. And so I just want to share this with you. If you know anything about my family's history, my mom grew up very, very poor, a pastor's daughter, one of 14. Yes, I said 14 on purpose. They weren't even Catholic, y'all. They weren't even Catholic. And so literally, here's what Cicero says. My mom quotes Cicero, to be ignorant of what occurred before you were born is to remain always a child. She wrote all of those things down that had happened in their life. And she wrote it down for a reason. She wanted the next generation to know, and the generation after that next generation to know their spiritual heritage. That's pretty cool. She didn't write it to become a best-selling author, and she hasn't sold a ton of these books, but I've read it. And it did my heart good to be reminded that my grandparents and others like them poured into my mother, who poured into me, when I can pour into my kids, and now I'm going to have an opportunity to pour into my grandchildren. This is why we have to lift our eyes from the rat race that we are in, the spinning wheel that we get on, and remember that all of those things that are most important might not be the most urgent, but they're incredibly important. I want to share a story about this, and I wanted to share this so you could grasp and understand that sometimes things don't work out the way you expect, but God's always at work. I remember, this is a picture of my parents' home, pardon me, my grandparents' home in Georgia. They were living there, renting it, and trying to keep up the farm and all of these things outside of Ironton, Georgia, not too far from Colquitt, Georgia, way in the southern part. And I remember that house. I also remember the house in West Virginia where I sat on the front porch. And some of you may remember, I've told you this story. But I sat on the front porch as a kid who was between his sophomore and his junior year of high school. And I had gone down lots of roads that I didn't need to go down when I was a sophomore, and I wanted to get a fresh start. And my dad was offered a pastorate in Dothan, Alabama. Talk about being in the far south. That is Dothan, Alabama. It is so far south. And I remember telling him that I wanted to go, that I wanted a new start, and that I wanted him to go, and that in doing so, he would help me. And he said, no. He said, I can't go. And I said, why? I want to go. I want to get a new start. And he said, but your sister, Marcy, has just started dating a guy who I think is going to be her husband one day. And guess what? He was right. He said, I could never forgive myself if I took her away from what God is doing and preparing in her life, to go and do what I want to do first. My dad was a pastor. Now here's the twist. My sister and her husband got a divorce. So you might think, boy, he missed that. As a man who followed in his father's footsteps, I'm here to tell you that most of us, PKs, preachers' kids, we don't We don't follow in our father's footsteps. We're the rebellious ones. We're the crazy ones. We're the ones who usually have a police record. I mean, to be honest. So far, I'm good. No police record. I remember thinking to myself in that moment, he's the real deal. He is legit. He is solid through and through. His integrity, when nobody else is around, cannot be questioned. And I wanted to be a man who would make the decisions like that. You know? So in some ways, people would be like, ah, you missed it. He missed the point. No, he didn't miss the point. It just was very different than what God had planned. The person that he wanted to influence the most might have been my sister who has a son with him, but maybe that influence was intended for me too, because I've never been the same. From my 11th grade year, I think the Lord was kind of moving me to become a pastor from that point forward. My life took a pretty dramatic turn. And so I just share with you the concept of what God is up to may not be as easy as 1, 2, 3. But if you are doing your very best to take your eyes off of this world and to place it on a city whose foundations and builder is God instead of mankind, you are doing what God would have you to do. We need to make more and more choices and decisions based on what God has promised, rather than simply what we believe we know about our today world. And so I share with you, whatever God is up to in your life, trust that he is accomplishing a great purpose and follow his plan and his leading for you. Heavenly Father, as we end today, Lord, just for a brief moment or two, we've shared around your word. We know that you are at work. We know that you are constantly at work, that you have never stopped from the beginning of time working not only to work to keep this world together, but also to accomplish something in our world. And we just would ask that you would continue to do that. Make our lives something that is dedicated to you. May we give ourselves over to you, and may you be glorified, not because we are perfect, not because we are Hall of Fame saints, but ultimately we are saints who have a Hall of Fame God that we put our faith in, even when we do not fully understand all that you're doing and all that you are accomplishing. Father, just keep us close to your side, and may we be faithful to pour into the next generation so that they too might know you. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.